Good morning. Today's daf Nazir Nun Aleph. We are starting on Nun Amud Beis at the two dots Malo Tarvad Rekev. There is one topic in today's daf, and that's going to be Malo Tarvad Rekev. We started the seventh parak of the Masechta, and as I warned you at the beginning of the parak, we started just a short number of days ago. Parak started on daf Mem Zayin. Today's Nun Aleph. Okay, so we can call that now 4 days ago. So we started the seventh parak of Nazir and Tumas Meis. Nazir cannot be Matam Lemes. Nazir can't do three things, but one of them is be Matam Lemes. And so we need proper definition of what does that mean to be Matam Lemes. What's a mace? What is considered a corpse, a human remains that's going to give off Tumas Mace? So the answer is complicated, and that's what we're going through here in the seventh parak, meaning there is also Masechta dedicated to this topic as well. It's called Olos. But in the context of Nazir, however, we're having a complimentary discussion regarding a Nazir not being Matam Lemes. So over here, yesterday was very graphic. Today also is going to be very graphic in terms of giving definition to what is considered human remains. Again, I say human remains, that's metam lemes. Not all human remains are metam lemes. And so therefore, there is definition, and we're going to give definition. Tosfos a couple times today, he says, because you're going to turn to me at one point in today's daf, maybe more than one point, and you're going to ask me the question, Mechitesi, where is all this coming from? Meaning, how do we know all this information? So Tosfos on a number of occasions in today's daf says, Halacha Moshe Misinai. Meaning, there are not going to be any psukim, we're not going to be darshaning. Today, no drashas, not a single drasha. But it happens to be that that we have a Mesorah, and that's part of our Mesorah, so this is part of the Mesorah, it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. Okay? My bekis would be even better if I can point out I went through the Tosfosim, but if I could point out the number of places within Tosfosim where it says it, but a couple of occasions in today's daf. Good. Okay, so one of the ways, and remember, when it comes to Tumas Meis, so there are three ways of transmission of Tumah. One is Maga, two is Masa, and three is Ohel. Maga, physical contact with the remains. Masa, carrying the remains, and Ohel, being under the same roof. Okay, there are, bones, we made this point already a couple of times, but let's just keep chazering. In other words, if I have the bones, but it doesn't have basar, and it doesn't have gidin, and it's just bones, so it's only metame b'maga v'masa, and it's not going to be metame b'ohel. Okay. But then if you do have a certain amount of the bones, or a certain quality of the bones, so then it will be metame b'ohel. But again, that's coming up. In other words, it's a good point to highlight and to keep emphasizing, we haven't seen that yet. Okay.
Masa, obviously, you're not touching it.
You're not touching it. In other words, by masa, you're just carrying it without touching it. Okay. So so one of the transmissions of Tumas Meis is coming about through what is called Malo Tarvad Rekev. So the Mishnah already pointed this out, the Mishnah back on Mem Zayin. The Mishnah says, what are examples? I say the Mishnah Mem Zayin. Okay, so I'd like to correct myself. Mem Zayin is the beginning of the Perek. But in terms of when we started getting involved in the actual remains and what is metame, so that started on Memtes. Okay. Meaning the first couple dapim of this parak just went through a discussion of Nazir, Kohen Gadol, compare and contrast. Right? That was the beginning of the parak. But then on Memtes, so that's where we started the discussion of Al Elu Tumas HaNazir Megaleach. Right? So when does a Nazir have to be Megaleach? Meaning that when does he have to reboot his Nazirus? And the Mishnah says, Al Ameis, Val Achizais Men Ameis, Al Kizais Netzav, Val Malo Tavid Rekev. So, in the Mishnah, we already discussed Meis, Val Achizais Men Ameis. You remember? A heated debate between the Talmidim of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, right? Al Meis, Val Achizais Men Ameis, right? Rav Yehuda got really excited, really animated, very upset. Don't let the students of Rav Meir come in because he's gonna bring in his Girsa of the Mishnah. And we don't want that Girsa of the Mishnah. But meanwhile, of course, that's our Girsa. Right. It's a correct Girsa. It's our Girsa. So anyway, but we already went through the Mace on our Kazais Men Mace. And then Netzel, so that was yesterday's daf. So yesterday's daf, we had the chus of going through exactly what Netzel is. So basically it's flesh that is now moving from a solid state to a liquid state. Okay. And how do I know that it's not mucus? And how do I know that it's not saliva? Okay. Then go back to yesterday's daf. Right. I told you, very graphic. And then, now what are we up to? We're up to now, Malo Tarvad Rekev. Okay, so before we start with the daf today, it's a short daf, it's not a particularly long daf, but Malo Tarvad Rekev. So first of all, the word Tarvad means a spoonful. So in other words, Halacha Moshe Misinai, you need a shear of it. In just a moment, I'm going to give I'm going to explain what it is in just a moment, but you need a shear. So over here, the shear is a spoonful. Now, I say spoonful, by the way, meaning what's a spoon, right? There are different size spoons. You have your soup spoon and, okay, good. So there are different size spoons. So presumably, apparently, the tarvin under discussion is a standard spoon. I can't help you more than that. I don't know more than that. So the but that's the tarvad. So melo tarvad of rekev. Okay. So what is rekev? So the answer is very simple. Although we're going to be spending an entire daf talking about it, but the answer is very simple. It's the body's decomposition where basically it's now reduced to dust. In other words, it's so far along the way of decomposition now where it's dust. And if you have melo tarvad rekev, a spoonful of the dust of human remains, so that is going to be metame. And again, vimaga, vimasa, uve ohel. And all three ways of transmission. So first, let's talk a little bit about the shear. That's where we're starting today. We're on Nun Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. It's a little more than halfway down on the Amud, short Amud. Amalot Tavid Rekav Akam Shiro. So what is the shear? So Chizki Amar Amalot Pisa Sayad, Rav Yochan Amar Amalot Chafnav. Okay. So what we have over here is a machlokus amongst the Amoraim, Chizki and Rav Yochanan. Whether or not it's Pisa Sayad or Chafnav, Malo Chafnav. So, now Pisa Sayad is, Tosu says, from Mitchilas Pisuk HaEtzba'os Ad Hazroa. Okay. Now I'm going to show you, by the way, but if you're just listening, it's a Helfnish. But I'm going to show you basically it's over here until here. Okay. Your palm. Palm. Okay, good. No, I could say it. I could say it. Even if you can't see me. Okay. So that is that's the piece of siyad. As opposed to malo chafnav, so malo chafnav seems to be the entire hand. The entire hand. Okay, we know malo chafnav, namely by the avod of Yom Kippur. So that's the Torah's description of the Kohen Gadol taking the malo chafnav. Putting it, right, the Ketoris, malo chafnav of Ketoris, and putting it on top of the, putting on top of the coals in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Anyway. Yeah, so it's presumably it's like, okay, yeah. I hear. Anyway, so there are two shitas in terms of what this amount totals to. So, sorry, I lost my spot. I'm back. Tanan. Okay, so it's a machlokas, and now we have a mishnah. Malo tarvad rekav shamru yesh no mikir tzbasav ulamala divra mer v'chacham emomrim malo chafnav. So good. So not only is it a machlokas amarim, it's also a machlokas atanim as well. Here's the problem, as the Gemara is about to point out. It's not a match. Meaning, certainly the sheet of the Chacham and Malo Chafnav is working right alongside Rav Yochanan, who also says Malo Chafnav. The problem is that we're trying to also align the sheet of Rameh with the sheet of Chizkia. But it's not, it doesn't seem to be a match. The Gemara makes exactly this point. Bishlam Rav Yochanan Damar Karabanan L'Chizkia Kaman Lo Karameh V'Lo Karabanan. I don't know. I'm looking at the sheet of Chizkia right now, and he describes that as a palm, and that's not what Rameir says. Rameir says, Mi Iker Etzbosav Ulamala. From the Iker Etzbosav, once again, that's this point right over here, Lamala, going upward. Okay. Now, those who are in the medical world, and I'm not there, but I hang around with doctors long enough. So in the medical field, we have what's called proximal, we have what's called distal. So proximal would be going into the direction of the body. Distal would be going in the direction of the fingers. But obviously in the Gemara, we don't have those words. We have lamala lamata. So over here, once you're starting here and you say the word lamala, well, what do you mean? Lamala mean this direction or this direction? Right now, the Gemara thinks we're going in this direction, meaning towards the fingertips. If that's true, so then we have a problem because it doesn't stim. Because now Chizkia said the palm, and now Reb Meir said from here to the tips. That's not the same. You know what the answer is going to be, but let's have the Gemara say it. So Reb Meir v'lo k'rabanan Amre malo pisa siyad malo kishur etzbasav lamala chashiruhu. So the Gemara says, well, here's what I could argue. I can argue that the amount of rekav that's held in the palm and the amount of rekav that's held on the fingers are the same. It's the same thing. They're equal. That's what I could say. And I'm Rav Shimei Shimi Barad Rav Papa Mi Mai Dahai Mekashri Etzbosav Lamala Rosh Dilma Lamata Mididei Davalei Malo Pisa Sayad. And the Gemara says, how about this? How about we don't have to give such a fancy answer. How about we just simply redefine what lamala means? Meaning we thought lamala meant in the direction of the fingertips. And then the problem was, the Chizkim Rav Meir not saying the same thing. So the Gemara says, I got a great suggestion. That lamala over here means distal, not proximal. Other way around. Lamala means proximal, not distal. And so that means to say that lamala means from here, where the fingers begin, to the to your arm, right? In other words, the palm. We're describing the palm. And if that's true, so then Rav Meir and Chizki are saying the exact same thing. Now we have the word teku over here at the end of the Gemara. Teku, Tosa says, doesn't belong in our Gemara. Meaning because what Rav Shimi is saying is, you don't have to give a fancy answer. Just simply say that Chizki and Rav Meir are saying the same thing, and it's just a question of reinterpreting what the word lamala means. Okay, good. Tana Rabbanan. We're on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and again, there is one singular topic in today's daf. That's the good news. Okay, it's all good news. But in other words, but then from there, from that point going forward, a lot of detailed discussion regarding the definition of rekev. So far, the only thing that we tackled so far this morning is amount. How much do you need? So you need a spoonful. But can we give other ways to measure? Yeah, but it happens to be a machlokus whether or not it's going to be a handful or a palmful. Okay, but in other words, a spoonful is going to be either equivalent to one of those two, depending on which way we paskin, on the machlokas. Normally, by the way, when you have a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Chizkia, so normally we paskin like Rav Yochanan. Okay, so maloch hafnav. I have a wonderfully good feeling that if you open up a Rambam, which I did not do, full disclosure, so probably what you're going to see him saying is that's maloch hafnav. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we're on Alpha Medal. Okay, so this is, again, I'm going to say it at the front end. I'll say it a couple times more over the course of this morning. And that is, this is all halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Meaning, again, we're not going to have sourcing from psukim in the Torah. This is just simply part of the tradition. And that is that in order to qualify as melo tarvid rekev, so it has to be decomposition of unadulterated human remains. So that means to say that buried arum, naked, and shayish, meaning in marble. Now, hopefully this should bother everybody, meaning I'm hoping it is, because, of course, we also have a mesorah that when a person's buried, a person should be buried in the ground. So in the earth. So who's being buried under these circumstances? Is that appropriate? And of course the answer is no, it's not appropriate. So then, so we're struggling, right? Who would be buried in such a situation? So all I can tell you is that it's a little bit strange. Meaning to get to Malo Tarvid Rekev, a person must be buried inappropriately. Meaning left. The Kuchins. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I'm fine simply saying it's weird. I know it's not, you know, it's not pleasant, but I'm fine saying it because it is. It's strange. In other words, we have a mesorah that, and not only a mesorah, it's a pasuk, right? It's a mitzvah to bury in the ground. And so who's going to be buried this way? The answer is nobody. But with that stated, if somebody's buried naked and marble, because the marble is never going to adulterate the decomposition, meaning as opposed to, let's say, it was not marble, but let's say, for example, it was wood. So you're going to have now a decomposition of body and the wood as well. And that will be an adulteration. And the only way to get to rekev, where halachically now it has the status of rekev, is only when it is totally unadulterated. Okay. So agabe ritzvah shal avanim zeo meshe shal rekev, nikbar b'ksuso, barun shal etzo agabe ritzvah shal levenim zeo meshe she'en lo rekev. However, if buried in wood or on the floor of levain brick, so that is something with she'en lo rekev, meaning halachically it's not rekev because you will now have an adulteration. In other words, together coupled with the decomposition of the body, you're also going to have, you'll have rotting wood or you have rotting brick. In other words, the brick also crumbles and decomposes, and so now the decomposition will be an adulteration. And again, halachically speaking, it's just simply not rekev. Okay. Amar ulein rekev alabam and abasam and aginim and atzamos. Okay, next halacha. Ula says is that it has to be decomposition, it has to be unadulterated human remains, and it must be a composite of three parts of the human being. And that is the flesh, the gidim, and the bone. Okay. Gidim. Okay, now, probably I in the past have said the gidim are tendons and ligaments. I don't know if I'm right.
Nerves.
Okay, probably the better definition would be nerves, right? I think that's a better definition. Right? The sinews, nerves, maybe the vascular system. Okay.
Yeah. Veins.
Veins. Okay, good. Okay. So, good. So I'd like to correct everything I said now for however many years I've said it. Okay, good. Wonderful. Go back now and edit all of the above. Okay, but anyway. But in order for it to be rekev, so what you need to have is decomposition, unadulterated, and it must be a composite. It has to have all three of these ingredients. So Ezra Ravel Ula, so the Gemara now is going to go on the attack on Ula. So if it's just Basar, it's Tahor, meaning it doesn't qualify as Rekav, but if it comes from bone, if it's decomposed bone, so then it's going to be Tameh. Now, here, the Dik seems to be very simple. Even if it doesn't have Basar, even though it's just decomposed bone, that's going to be Rekav. So the Gemara says, no, Eimahachi. No, don't learn the Mishnah like that. It's either a Mishnah or a Brisa, which we quoted, but don't learn it like that. Here, let me show you how to learn it. Rekav haba min habasar tahor ad sheyesh etzem bebasar. Okay, so the way to learn it is that basar by itself is not enough. It's insufficient. You need basar and you need etzem. So halek gidim yafshel basar latzamus below gidim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember Ula said that there are three important components in order for it to qualify as rekev. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know that, but once you have the etzem and once you have the basar, so by definition, you're going to have gidim as well. In other words, gidim is just simply a necessary part of the, you can't have basar and you can't have etzem without having gidim. Okay. Amar Shmuel bar Abba, Rav Yochanan. Okay, we're ready for our next halacha of rekev. Again, one topic today, just various aspects of it. So, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, Shnei Mesim Shekar V'Zeim Zeh, Nasu Gagal, and Zeh L'Zeh. So remember how I started off today's daf by saying that it has to be unadulterated? So what qualifies as adulteration? So already we know. If it's buried together in a wood box, so the wood decomposing is adulteration, not rekev. With bricks, that's adulteration, it's not rekev. Here we have now even a bigger chiddush. And that is that let's say it's buried with another body. So two bodies are buried together. And again, by the way, when I say the word buried together, keep in mind, can't be in the ground because obviously that'll be adulteration. So it's such a strange visual. But again, we're learning the halacha. So as strange as the visual as it is, but this is going to be the halacha. If the two bodies now are decomposing together, that's an adulteration. In other words, it has to be the body decomposing by itself. So nasu galgalim zelazeh. They are going to be galgalim zelazeh. Now the word galgalim over here, Tosus really struggles to understand what the word Galgala means. Whatever the word means, you'll see Tosus inside, I'm not going to go through it together inside, but whatever the word means, I understand the intent of the Gemara. That part's clear. And that is that because the two bodies are decomposing together, so therefore it is viewed as an adulteration, and therefore not considered Rekev. So Mesim, Rav Nasan, Rekev, Abba Mi Beis Mesim Tamei. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to show you a Braisa. And the Braisa says that when I have the mesim of two bodies decomposing, and now I have the dust of these two bodies that decomposed, it is in fact going to be tummy. It'll be tummy mace. Obviously, that's a kasha. It's a strong kasha. So I'm a Rava Sarava defense. Hasam Shakar Vizebif Neasma Vizebif Neasma Vikivu Vimdu Amalotavid Rekev. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what how to understand the Braisa, how to interpret the Braisa. The two bodies decomposed individually. Then the ashes were collected from the two of them. So the individual decomposition qualifies as rekev. Then what we're learning together is once you have rekev, now I can combine the two of them together in order to get to the shear of Malot Tarvad. That's what the Braisa meant. Amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chanina.
But each one had to be on its own.
Correct. The decomposition had to happen individually.
No, the Malotarvah.
But the Malotarvah came, no, you can combine. The Gemara is saying that you can combine towards the Malotarvah. The Gemara says you can combine, Tosfos says for sure that's what the Gemara meant. That you can combine for the Malotarvah. Right.
But then it's not Rekev.
No, it is Rekev because it decomposed by itself.
I mean, it's adulterated.
In the adulteration only is a problem during decomposition. After decomposed, now it's Rekev and you can combine.
But we always use burying wooden
coffins. Again, I know that's confusing. All right, on the front end of the daf, I said it's confusing because this is not how we're supposed to bury. So what we have to separate now is the way we're supposed to bury and this halacha of Rekev. Okay. Amar Rabba Bar Chanina Rav Yochanan Gazasara Vekivro Imo Nasalo Gagalin. Okay, more on this topic of adulteration. And that is, let's say the hair is clipped and now the body's decomposing with its clipped hair. The clipped hair now is no longer part of the body, and therefore as the hair now is decomposing with the body, so now that hair is viewed as outside, it's foreign. And now that's adulteration. It's galgalin. It's right? Remarkably, no. In other words, over here, it has to be totally unadulterated, right? And I was, it's so funny, in preparation of the daf, I was thinking the same thing. Meaning over here, the Gemara does not utter a word about bittul. Okay. Tanan house.
How much? One here, 10 years.
It's a fair question. I don't know. So Tanan house, I'm kosh. Yeah. Tanan hasam kosher b'meis tamechutz menashinayim v'aser v'tziporin uvishas chiburan kulon tamein. Okay, so here we have a Mishnah. And the Mishnah over here is an Olos. Okay, the Gemara Nida quotes it as well. And that is, anything kosher b'meis tameh. Now, just not that we're totally confused, but this Mishnah obviously is talking about not the halach of Rekev, but the halach of Tumah. In other words, tameh meis. So over here, As long as it's connected to the body, so then it's going to be tummy, right? Kosher b'meis tamechutz menashinaim with exclusion to teeth and hair and fingernails. However, uvishas kiburin kulan tameyin. But while connected, they're going to be tummy. Okay, so fine. Now this mission that we just quoted from Olos again is not talking about Rekev. It's just talking stam about tumas meis. So in other words, if you have a tooth that's removed before you're dead, so that tooth is not going to be, it's not going to be tummy at all. Same with the hair and same with the fingernails, right? Things that we intuitively know, but it's as intuitive as it is, more importantly, it's a Mishnah. Okay. And so now the Gemara is going to discuss. So now let's say the hair, you planned on cutting it, but then you die before cutting the hair, but you planned on cutting it. And the same thing with the fingernails as well. So the Gemara says, okay, and we get to one of the more classic discussions throughout Shas, and that's kola omeid. In other words, if the plan was to cut the hair, so halachically now, do we now currently view it as detached, even though it hasn't been done yet? But it's omeid. It stands to be cut, right? Sorry, I'm just giving a graphic example. While headed right to the barber, so he dies as he's walking into the barbershop. So you know that the plan was right now to cut it. Okay? So what's the halacha now? Kola omeid. It comes up again and again throughout Shas. This is a real classic discussion. So v'nifshalei mid'rabba barbachana tamei mishum degazas halo gazas lo. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we learn it out from what was said by Rabba barbachana? Meaning, Rabbi Barbachana says that if I cut the hair and you're decomposing together with you, meaning the mace is decomposing together with the clipped hair, so that's considered adulteration. Now, honestly, in other words, it's not a Mishnah, it's a Memra, but still. In other words, if you're reading it carefully, what comes out from that? Well, what comes out from that is that if it's not clipped, even if you planned on clipping it, so then it's not considered an adulteration, meaning it's part and parcel of the body. So the Gemara says, no, don't be medayik. Hachi kamar gazas harize galgalim, lo gazas mi bayile. All Rabbi Bar Chanina was saying is what he knows for sure. And that is, is that if you clip the hair, so that's considered foreign. And it now would consider it to be an adulteration of the rekev. It's not rekev. But what if you planned on cutting it? He didn't dip his toe into that discussion because he didn't know. In other words, he only said what he knew, and he just simply didn't. He didn't say something that he wasn't sure about. He just simply didn't know. Okay. Bar Rav Yirmiya, rekev haba min ha'ekev mahu. Okay, let's talk a little bit about feet, shall we? Why not? Let's talk about our feet. So on our feet, we have a lot of dead skin. Okay? And so basically, effectively, what the question is that dead skin that we have in our feet, so is that considered now an adulteration? In other words, is that in fact going to be considered foreign matter so that when the body decomposes with all that dead skin on your feet, so is that going to be considered a non-rekev, rekev, if you're following today's discussion? So the Gemara says, okay, maybe it's just simply part of the body, maybe it's not. Tashma, didn't he Rav Nasim Rabbi Yoshi rekev haba mishnei meisim tamei? So let's go back to what we said already today. And rekev haba mishnei meisim. Now remember, the ukimta is that each of the bodies decomposed separately. And after decomposition, now once it's reduced to dust, so now you can take the dust and combine to get to the melot harvan. Isa kadach haba min ekev lo zil hacha dilma derech akev kase vihacha dilma derech akev kaase. So the Gemara says, now, if you're worried about the dead skin on the feet, so why shouldn't you be worried that, look, if I'm collecting a little bit of dust here, a little bit of dust here, maybe what I collected was dead skin that decomposed. So in other words, what the Gemara is arguing is clearly when it's not a concern. And you know why it's not a concern? Because the dead skin of the feet is considered part and parcel of the body. So the Gemara says, no. If we're talking about the entire body decomposing, and as part of the entire body, you have obviously the feet, and you have all that dead skin on the feet. The Gemara says that was never on the table for discussion. We knew, we always knew. That's considered just simply the body decomposing. However, the Gemara says, but I'll tell you, however, where it's the question, and that is that you don't have the entire body decomposing, but let's say that you have the just a leg, or let's even just say the foot of a body that in of itself is decomposing. Now remember, all you need is, you need basar, gidin, and atzamos. So if you have a foot, so you have it. However, but the Gemara's question now is that if all you have is the foot, is that skin now going to be qualified as basar? Because maybe it could be argued that then and only then it's just basically dead skin and it doesn't qualify. Take what the Gemara says on that. I'll leave that question unresolved. Bar Rabbi Yirmi over b'me'isho have a gagalam alo. Okay. These questions are going to get more graphic, but again, once we introduce to this idea of adulteration, which will prevent the rekev from halachically being rekev, so now we get to ask a lot of questions, and I know the Gemara's questions over here are going to be graphic, and we're going to get to the point of it'll really push us to the limit. Let's just say it like that. A woman dies and now she was pregnant, she was carrying, and she's decomposing with the fetus. So now is that fetus considered a foreign entity? Yes or no? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go to another topic that comes up numerous times throughout Shas, and that is how halachically to view the fetus. Is the fetus considered like a limb of the mother? Obviously a limb that's going to detach, but nevertheless, while in utero, is uber yerech imo. And if that's in fact the case, so it's not a foreign matter. Or the Gemara says, alternatively, we also know, in other words, this is an easy prognosis. The fetus will end up detaching from her. That's normally what happens. She carries, but then she expels. It leaves her. So maybe no. Maybe because of what is going to happen in the natural order of it detaching from her. So maybe it's not considered part and parcel of her body. And the Gemara says, and let's take the latter position, meaning that we do not view it as part of her body. and we view it now, even in its current state, as something which is detached and foreign from her, so then shechvazera v'meishamahu. Let's say a woman, after having had relations, she dies, and she's decomposing with the zera inside of her. Is that considered part and parcel of her body? So me, I'm reading Kevin Delo, itzar ki gufa dame, o dema Kevin Demala, deme amakasi lo. On one hand, so that zera inside of her obviously didn't fertilize, and it's just, but collected inside of her and never to be discharged by her. So on one hand, we could say it's part of her body. On the other hand, it did come from a foreign source, meaning it came from the man. And it's not something that was generated by her. So maybe it's not part of her body. And so again, just to the question of adulteration. In other words, now as she's decomposing together with the zera, so maybe the zera is considered like foreign matter, creating now a galgalan, creating an adulteration of the rekev. By Rapapa Pirsha Mahu. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, now. All right, so we talked about feet. Let's talk about excrement. Okay, I know it's a strange stuff, but let's talk about excrement. What is excrement viewed? Is that viewed as adulteration? You're going to be decomposing now with the excrement inside of you. Is that considered an adulteration? On one hand, can't live in this world without eating. So in other words, granted that you're about to expel it, but still, in other words, it's part of you. In other words, you need it. On the other hand, or the Gemara says, or no, maybe not. Maybe it's considered foreign vis-a-vis the halacha of rekev. By Rav Acha Bar Yehuda Vika Ramahu. Okay, now here, again, the Gemara is really pushing the limits in terms of what is considered adulteration. How about your skin? Is your skin considered adulteration? It's really hard to imagine the Gemara is asking about skin. On the other hand, the Gemara seems to be asking about skin. So you can see Tosfos doesn't struggle. In other words, Tosfos just simply understands that we're talking about skin. Rashi, or whoever is taking the role of Rashi over here in Nazir, does really struggle with this, with even the question of the Gemara. So anyway, but let's just say it's skin, and I'm acknowledging how strange a discussion we're having right now as to whether or not skin is considered an adulteration, and therefore would prevent it from being rekev. And the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. If skin is on the table, how do you ever get to rekev? Meaning, how in the world is a person going to be decomposing without his skin? Okay, and I know it's a bizarre question. The Gemara is going to ask it. You have to ask the question. Meaning, once skin is on the table, so then how do you ever get to rekev? So, by Rav Huna Bar Manoach Kichov Neomahu, the Gemara says, what about saliva? What about mucus? Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Achla Rav Papa Visa Kadach Kohani Dekamer Have Gagal and Rekav Dematame Echem Mishkachala. So Rav Shmuel Bar Achla says, okay, at this point in time, like, I'm ready to give up. Meaning, if mucus is an adulteration and saliva is an adulteration and skin is an adulteration, so this halacha la Moshe Misinai, that there's something called Rekav, how do you ever get there? So the Gemara says, Dashkai Me Dekalim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how. So first of all, you drink back in the day, so they had a diuretic. So it was made to kalim. Okay. Tosfos over here quotes Gemara in Shabbos. Okay. So anyway, that gives a very detailed description of the made to kalim. I'll spare you. You're welcome. So but it's a cleanser. It's a cleanser. So you drink it and that totally cleans you out. And Visacha and Asha, and then what you're going to do is you're going to put on some sort of chemical in order to get all rid of all the hair. Vishalka be Metzveria, and then what's going to happen is that the body's going to be is going to be boiled, so that all the outer layer skin falls off. And okay, now again, by the way, kind of crazy. Yeah, correct. Okay, Alan, right? It's kind of crazy. Okay, you're not allowed to do that. You're not, and again, right? Good. So. Let's give voice to this. You're not allowed to do any of the above, but in other words, but to the question of how do I get to Rekev? Okay, good. This is how you get to Rekev, right? Are you allowed to do any of that to the Mesa? Obviously not. It's, in other words, it's Nival Mace. So, okay. So I'm Rabbi Nakina Mesha Tachno Ein Lo Rekev. Okay, so Abai says we have the following, Naktinan. Okay, so here's just a wonderful example, by the way. The word Naktinan typically means tradition, right? Literally means to hold. But in other words, this is a tradition we've been holding on to forever. It's part of the Masorah. And that is, Naktina, Meshe Tachnoin LaRekev. That if the mace was first ground up and then decomposing, so it's not going to get to the point of Rekev. Halachically, it won't be Rekev. Again, Rekev is the natural decomposition of a body. So, Ibailu, Tachnoin V'chazav V'hirkev Mahu. So let's say it was ground and then decomposed. So the Gemara says, Midu time ala deika basa v'gidim v'atzamas v'aika odim v'kabriyah sabinim v'leika teiko. So the Gemara says, okay, on one hand, it did undergo decomposition. On the other hand, maybe decomposition needs organic decomposition starting with a whole body. Teiko, the Gemara says, okay. On this one, we don't know. Tani ula barchanina meisha chaser ain lo rekev v'lo tfusa v'lo shchunas kivros. Okay, so if I have a mace that's chaser, okay, recently in the daf in Nazir we talked about it regarding a kohen being mitame for a karov, right? Again, not a popular halacha. People don't know, but if you have a kohen and he's got a relative, but the relative did not die with an entire body, but rather limbs and digits are amputated, so now that's called a chaser, and the kohen is not allowed to be mitame for that karov.
After death.
Right. So over here, we are now discussing a mace chaser. So now, yeah, you discover the mace, but the mace is missing limbs. So ain lo rekev. So does not have the halacha of rekev. Velo tfus velo shchunas kavra. So rekev, we've been discussing the whole day. So I don't need to clarify what that is. But the other two, first time we're hearing about it. So let's go over what these other two are. So with the help of Tosfos. Okay, what are we up to? Tfusa. So what is Tfusa? So Tosos writes over here that's coming up later in the Masechta, right? Samech Dalet. Hamotzei meis bederech kedarko notle im Tfusa. So v'darish lemikra, mefarish le shenotel kol afar tichoch v'shosha etzbaos v'karka besula. Upon discovering a mace, so it needs to be buried. So there is a halacha. The Gemara happens to darshit from Psukim. So, but regardless, the halacha is that you have to take some of the dirt that it's with. How much dirt? So Tosfos here quotes, we'll see the Gemara later on. Anyway, that's the halach of Tfusa. Okay? And finally, Washchunas Kivros. So Tosfos over here clarifies what that is as well. If you want to follow me in the Tosfos, second wide line in the Tosfos. Shchunas Kivros. Alakam and Beperk Basar. This also is coming up later in the Masechta, on Daf Samech Dalet. So let's say you find the remains of three bodies, and they're within a certain area, 48 amas. So you may have come upon a cemetery. And so what you now are required to do is a bedika of surrounding area, because you may have come upon a cemetery. Now, Sarach Iyun, I'm skipping like three or four lines in the Tosfos. Tosfos now is bothered. So I found three bodies buried one next to another within a certain proximity. And now I have to be worried that it's a cemetery. But what did we just learn together here in our daf today? That if one of the bodies is missing a limb, so then it doesn't have, you don't have to look. So if it's Sarach Iyun, so Tosfos says, so I'm struggling a little bit over here. Lami im tam shchunas kivros mishim chshasha dedem ayasham beis akvaros. So now one of the bodies happens to be missing a limb. You don't have to worry that you discovered a cemetery? Meaning if the whole issue over here is that you may have discovered a cemetery, so what difference does it make whether or not one of the bodies is missing a limb? I don't get it, says Tosfos. But Tosfos writes, V'imu alach l'moshe misina mutav. But if this is not something which is a rational halacha, so to say. But in other words, it's just simply halacha Moshe Misinai. So Tosfos says, okay, halacha Moshe Misinai does not have to follow a logical pattern. And over here, so let's just say it's halacha Moshe Misinai. Okay, fine. So if a mace is missing an aver, so does not have the halacha of Rekev, does not have the halacha of Tfusa, and does not have the halacha of Shchunas Kivros, and we just went through all three of them. Well, the first one we knew already. Mesvei. So the Gemara says, okay, challenge. Loi mamart b'meis, sheyesh la rov, verova, umalat tavid rekev, Tomer b'chai she'ein lo rov, v'lo rova, v'lo melo tarvet rekev. So over here, the Gemara is going to be challenging based on the Mishnah Nedios. It'd be helpful to us if we knew the beginning of the Mishnah. Okay, so let's go for the beginning of the Mishnah. A person loses a limb while he's alive. So now, that limb, so what is the status of that limb? So the Gemara says that it's a machlokis in that Mishnah Nedios. And over here, the counter argument, this is the part that we're hearing right now. Im amart b'meishiyesh lo rov, and rova, and melo tarved rekev. You know, when it comes to a mace, so you have these halachas. But when it comes to a chai, you don't have the halacha of rov, meaning it doesn't have, in other words, the bones do not apply to a detached limb, the halacha of tumas mace, and rova, right, that's rova hakav, and melo tarved rekev, meaning that even if that limb were to decompose, you don't have the halacha of melo tarved rekev. And Ika Rekev. And so the Gemara says, so now I'm confused, because that Mishnah Nedios seems to imply the following, that if I have the limb of a mace, a limb by itself, so that's going to give, and it decomposes, that will get to the status of Rekev. That's what the Mishnah Nedios sounds like. The Gemara says, no, incorrect. Let me teach you how to learn the Mishnah Nedios. Miketani ha meis hakamashmalan shum meis yesh lo rekev shum chai ein lo rekev. The Mishnah Nedios was not talking about the limb per se. It was talking about the category, meaning that if I have a limb coming off a live person, live people don't have the halachic status of rekev. Dead has the halachic status of rekev, but we don't mean the limb of the dead. We mean the category of dead. Once a person died, once you're just looking at the remains, that has the status of rekev, but not specific to the limb. That's how you learn the Mishnah. By Rava, let's do one more station of the Gemara. By Rava, hirkev kishu chay v'chazu ameis mahu. So let's say limb comes off; it's decomposing. Now again, we just learned together that decomposition does not have the halachic status of rekev. But then what happens is that then the person dies. And now the rest of his body is going to be decomposing. Can we go back to that limb now? And can we relitigate that limb? Meaning, while the limb came off from a live person, so that limb does not have the status of rekev as it's decomposing. But then after the person himself dies, can we go back to the limb now and say, that limb now, it belongs to a mace, and therefore now it can be given the status of rekev. So, ki gemir rekev di erkev kishu mace odoma, Hashtamiah mace. So the Gemara says, okay, the halacha of rekev, does it have to be the rekev of only post-mortem? Or can it be rekev of a limb that came off decomposing, even though right now, currently, it's not rekev? But after the person dies, we can go back now and give it the status of rekev. Right? Post-facto. Okay. So Tashma Loim Amar b'meishesh lo rova malotavad rekev tomer bechay v'chule. So the Gemara says, okay, the Mishnah Nedios, right? The Gemara says, no, not the Mishnah Nedios. Tamer mishum chay ha meishesh lo rekev. So mi ketani ha meish hakamash malan deshum meishesh lo rekev shum chay ein lo rekev. And again, the Gemara says, no. Again, the Mishnah Nedios is just talking about categories. Categorically, a meish has alach malotavad rekev. Categorically, a chay does not have the status of Melot Tarvet Rekev. That's all the Mishnah in Adios meant. And we can't be Madai from the Mishnah in Adios. Okay. Like I said, one topic for today's daf, in terms of the review of today's daf, so basically, we learned the following. That if I have Melot Tarvet Rekev, so that will be Metame, Bimaga, Bimasa, Ube'oha. That we learned already in the Mishnah Memtes. In today's daf, on Nun Aleph, so what did we learn together? First of all, what is that volume? So that volume is either going to be a palmful or a handful. That's a machlokas, Amoraim and Tanaim. Then we went on to discuss, basically, over the course of today's daf, what exactly are the circumstances in which you have the decomposition of the body when reduced to dust that it is going to be given the status of rekev. Our main point in today's daf is that it has to be unadulterated. It has to be decomposition of human remains and only human remains, with no adulteration of anything foreign. Now, I say the words anything foreign, and then the Gemara launches into a series of questions regarding what is foreign? Certainly, the wood that it's buried in, and the ground, and the and even brick that's buried together with, that's going to be adulteration. That's foreign. What about some of the Gemara's questions today were really pushing the limits of considered what is foreign. What if a woman is died with a fetus inside? Is that fetus considered foreign? What about the hair? What about the skin? What about the what about mucus? Are those considered foreign entities? Okay. And then on the Amud Beis, so various questions regarding whether rekav can come from just a single limb. Gemara says no, it has to be coming from an entire body. Okay, I'm hitting the basic points of today's daf, but I'm going back to the Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that in order for it to be rekav, it has to be basar, gidim, and atzamos. Okay, well, we're going to pause over here, and tomorrow we pick it up with the bottom of the Amud.